season on Chicago's magnificent mile, coast to coast and around the world, it's Don McNeil and his Breakfast Club.
Good morning, Breakfast Clubbers. Good morning to ya. We've got up bright and early to howdy do ya. The nation is our neighborhood as long as you are there. With Don McNeil and us, the Breakfast Club is on the air.
And here's Don.
Good morning. Good morning on a beautiful day in Chicago. And in our audience, we have Pentwater, Michigan high school girls. A quiet, subdued little group. Under the guidance of Mr. Ostrander, who every spring treats all the high school girls of Pentwater to a trip to Chicago. Says it keeps them young. Also, we have news carrier boys from Ames, Iowa. Back in the giggly section, Girl Scouts from Chicago and from St. Louis, who earned their own money for this splurge in Chicago, the poor, hardworking souls. We appreciate it. Also, I have a Hollywood movie guest and his lovely daughter with us this morning. Ought to be quite a day around the breakfast table.
You're in the clouds with Don McNeil.
This is such an accommodating-looking audience. I know that you want to take part in everything that goes on here in the Breakfast Club this morning. Ordinarily, I don't ask a thing like this, but I'm going to ask you to do something for me before we get into the songs and stuff, if you would. It isn't a whole lot. But, well, everyone in the audience, when I count to three, please pretend to write your names on the floor with your foot. Now, either your left or your right foot, right in front of your chair, just pretend to write your names on the floor when I say three. One, two, three. Thank you very much. I always like to start the show by kicking a few names around.
Saturday night, Saturday night. We all get together on Saturday night. Put on your shoes, go downtown. I do nothing but walk around. On a Sunday or a Monday, you can't do it right. Ain't you glad we got Saturday night?
Early in the evening, all week long, sit on the stoop, sing a little song. Cry on your pillow when things go wrong, and wait for a Saturday night.
Let me tell you about Saturday night. Saturday night, we all get together on Saturday night.
Look at the girls, what do we do? Turn around, see they're looking too.
On a Sunday or a Monday, you can't do it right. Ain't you glad we got Saturday night?
Saturday evening when the work's all done, come along, we'll have a little fun. We're sort of quiet, kind of homespun, but we're wild on the Saturday night.
Easy now, Saturday night, Saturday night. We all get together on Saturday night. Glad we got Saturday night.
Here we go now, Saturday night.
Saturday night, we all get together on Saturday night.
We'll do things you've never seen. Ain't coming home till 12:15.
On a Sunday or a Monday, you can't do it right. Ain't you glad we got Saturday night? Ain't you glad we got Saturday night? Ain't you glad we got Saturday night?
Thank you. Well, Saturday night may be all right, Bob, but I'll tell you, Monday was the wild day in Chicago.
Oh, my. Oh, boy. Fantastic.
Yes, sir, we had the astronauts McDivitt and White here all day long, and wonderful, gee, what fine-looking Americans they are. Made you real, real proud. And that applies to millions of Chicagoans who saw them while they were here. Gee, it was great. Just wonderful. And in the afternoon, they had some 5,000 youngsters who asked them questions here at McCormick Place. And Eddie White got out of a situation pretty neatly. It's one we asked on the program yesterday. Remember, we asked the audience how they felt about a woman astronaut, you know.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
going to the moon, remember?
Yeah.
Got some wild answers. Well, they asked Eddie White, and he said, "We have so many qualified men in the space program, we just don't need the girls yet."
Oh.
He got out of that pretty well.
Yeah, that's
pretty cagey, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sure.
By the way, there is no truth to the rumor that at the luncheon they had, after the fourth speech went on and on and on, that one astronaut whispered to the other, "You know, if we'd had this much hot air, we could have stayed up a couple more days." There's no truth to that. No truth to that. When Major White was up there, I think I forgot to tell you, he traveled about 6,000 miles in 20 minutes, I understand, when he took his walk in space, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an amazing thing. I happened to be listening to that on my car radio. While I was waiting to get out of a parking lot, he went 6,000 miles.
About right.
Yeah, isn't that so? Sam says that life at his house is just like Cape Kennedy. All the kids are go, his wife blasts off every hour, and he's completely weightless in his house.
Weightless.
That is your opinions, buddy.
Yes.
You're not weightless down here.
No, not at all.
He looks like the capsule, doesn't he? All right, let's go down that lonesome road with Marianne.
Look down, lonesome road before you travel on. Look up, and seek your maker, for Gabriel blows his horn. Weary toting such a heavy load, dredging down that lonesome road. Look down, that old lonesome road before you gotta travel.
Marianne Luckin.
Thank you.
In case you want to see her this afternoon, go to the Lincoln Park Zoo in the zebra cage.
Yes, even saying, what's black and white and red all over? An embarrassed Marianne wearing that dress.
Zebra colored.
A friend of mine's here today.
Who's that?
By the way, the singer that took my place down in Louisville, Kentucky on our station, ABC station, WHAS, Joanne Hale. She's right back there in the
second
room.
Well, hello, Joanne. Welcome.
Nice to have her here.
I should say so. When you came up to join us, she joined them, huh?
Yes, she did. We both get up early. And we look it. No, I look it.
She isn't dressed like a zebra.
No.
Wait till she's around Chicago a while. You all did such a wonderful job before when I asked you to write your names on the floor. I'm going to ask you to do something else. When I count to three, I want you all to smack your lips real loud, please.
Oh.
One, two, three. Good. You're not just flapping your lips. I'm going to talk about Weiler's lemonade.
Oh.
You helped me there. It's so good, really. That's the way you want to go. Try to do that again. Sounds like a flock of seagulls walking on the beach, isn't it? This Weiler's lemonade, boy, is that good. It's got that old-fashioned flavor your mother used to get when she squeezed fresh lemons and fussed around adding sugar and then tasted it. Now, all that took time. Weiler's way is so quick and easy. You just pour Weiler's lemonade mix in a pitcher, add water and ice and stir, and the lemonade's ready. And it's so easy. The sugar's already in the mix, just the right amount to suit most people's taste. And with lemony tartness and energy-giving sugar, you can't beat Weiler's famous flavor. And it's only about 10 cents. America's best-selling lemonade mix. So when you shop, look for Weiler's display and make it your summer's thirst aid station. W-Y-L-E-R-S, Weiler's. Boy, I bet the first time you taste Weiler's lemonade, you'll smack your lips like this. Thank you. Best old lips smackers I ever saw.
You were talking zebra and everything. It made me think I'm always in a quest and I have a thirst for knowledge, and I know that you probably know this answer. Or somebody might, but is a zebra black with white stripes or white with black stripes?
Now we have somebody in the audience who has a question. Where's Pamela Jaxtus?
Pamela
Jaxtus. You're come on, Pam.
Come here, Pamela.
If you please. Your question, Bob, of course, there is...
Is there an answer?
No answer to that, I believe. But boy, oh boy, here is a question that this young lady has on her card. She says... What has 1 billion legs, 1,000 heads, and one antler? Now, you think you ask a question. What has 1 billion legs, 1,000 heads, and one antler? All right, Pamela, what has?
I don't know. I just make up the questions, not the answers.
Yeah. Will you carry her back to her seat, please?
Right back there.
That
and hurry.
Intelligence,
and don't ever come back again.
don't believe a word of that. That's cute. Where's Irene Clancy? Where are you, Irene?
Hi.
Irene?
I'll meet you halfway, Irene. Irene married the Iceman.
What?
You know, you always hear those old jokes about the Iceman. You married him.
That's right. I married one.
When was that?
In 1934.
Holy smoke, 31 years ago.
Mm-hmm. We just celebrated our anniversary last week.
Bet you've never regretted it.
Never.
Good for you. You said on your card you've even got it better now. What do you mean?
That's right. He delivers beer now and he brings the beer.
I got away quick before she told me the brand.
Yeah.
Where's Catherine Cohen? She's from Jackson, Mississippi. Way down there, huh?
Way down there.
Catherine, this is the month of graduates, as you know.
Yes.
We have a lot of them come to the Breakfast Club. You said an unusual thing happened with regard to your high school diploma. What was that?
Oh, it was signed by my father and my husband.
I beg your pardon. Oh. You weren't that old when you were going to high school.
No. My husband was principal of the school, and my father was on the Board of Trustees, represented the Board of Trustees. He signed it.
You married the principal of the school?
He was not my husband at that time. After I graduated, I married him.
I see. Well, I'm not trying to be too nosy. I don't care what happened. It's just the principle of the thing. Thank you very much.
The Breakfast Club is coming to you from the clouds from atop the Hotel Allerton in Chicago. This is the ABC Radio Network.
I certainly got a kick out of Mary Jane O'Brien's card. Mary Jane is from the Pentwater, Michigan group. And usually, you know, it's exactly the opposite of what she put on her card that you usually find on a card like this. Mary Jane, you said that you are assisting in chaperoning your mother on this trip. And she wants to know, how do I go about getting her to act like I want her to? What's Ma doing there?
Well, she's flirting with all the boys.
Oh, no. Come on now.
Yeah, she never goes where I want her to. She's always taking pictures.
Is that her?
On my camera.
You just have the worst time with Mom.
That's right.
Yeah. She's so wild.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's nice that a young girl of what age?
15.
Of 15 is so thoughtful of her mother that she wants to keep track of her.
That's right.
All time. Where is she?
Right there.
That's the wild one. You know, she looks like the kind who ought to dance with Sam.
Yeah.
She's done everything else. Why not, huh?
Come here, Mother.
It's a bright new deal. ABC and you. With Don
winds may blow over icy sea, I'll take with me the warmth of thee, a taste of honey, a taste much sweeter than wine.
I didn't encourage them or anything, Don. They whistled on their own. Really, they really did. I didn't.
Usually do.
I know, but I didn't. That was genuine.
I like that taste of honey. Honey, of course, that's means a lot to me. That's what they used to call Kay before I married her. After that, everybody forgot about that honey bit. Of course, what do you call your wife?
My wife's name is Diane, and I affectionately call her Didi Dum Dum.
What she calls him, don't you?
Boys, di di dum dum.
Di di dum dum.
That's it. Okay. Now our hymn time with Marianne.
Abide with me, fast falls the even tide.
Now our moment of silent prayer, each in his own words, each in his own way. For a world united in peace, let us bow our heads and pray. Amen. Memory time this morning. Selection sent to us by the Gibson people, one of the writings of Helen Steiner Rice. It's a prayer for bride and groom. It's hand in hand you enter a life that's bright and new. May God look down from heaven and bless the two of you. May he give you understanding enough to make you kind, so you may judge each other with your heart, not your mind. May he teach you to be patient as you learn to live together, forgetting the little human rifts that arise in stormy weather. May your love be big enough to withstand the strongest sea, so you may dwell forever in love's rich tranquility. This, of course, being the month of weddings, June. Weddings is where the groom gets so nervous that he's liable to whisper to the preacher, "Is it kiss to marry to cuss the bride?" You remember that? How would you like an appropriate remembrance for your favorite bride and groom? Hey, Gibson's got the answer for you. It's a 24-page verse book entitled When Two People Marry. And this morning's memory time poem I just read you is from the book, A Prayer for a Bride and Groom. This is a fine collection of inspirational poems by Helen Steiner Rice. And the book is very handsomely bound in embossed leather-like covers. Lots of beautiful illustrations in it. Very thoughtful gift for a bride and groom. Gibson verse book. It's only a dollar at your Gibson greeting card dealers. When you drop in there, see the complete collection of greeting cards he's got. Every type of occasion. Plus the Gibson verse books and gift wraps. I think you'll find Gibson dealers a fine place to shop for greeting cards, verse books, gift wraps, and remembrances of all kinds. Since 1850, it's the nation's oldest, most respected name. Fine greeting cards, Gibson. Well, speaking of fine names, a young lady who's got a fine name, so has her father. You've seen him many times on the Hazel series, before that with Ozzie and Harriet Nelson. His daughter, Penny, is the author of a new book called With All My Love. Very interesting. So let's get them both in here, Penny DeFore and her father, Don DeFore. Well, let's see. This is interesting, I think, because not all young persons would give up a life of comfort, I'm sure, in Hollywood with a famous father and go halfway around the world to a desolate country in Korea. And that's what this book is all about, the experiences working at an orphanage and crippled children's center, what, for a year, Penny?
Almost a year, 8 months.
What started you on this?
Well, actually, it all began when I was 13, and my dad was making the movie Battle Hymn at Universal Studios. And the movie is about Colonel Dean Hess's life. He founded this orphanage in Korea. He was in the Air Force. And Dad thought it would be great to bring me and my brothers and sisters to the studio to meet Rock Hudson and the other people that were in the cast.
You weren't particularly interested, of course,
in
meeting
Rock. No, it was Dad I wanted to see.
Right.
No. And 25 orphans from this orphanage in Korea had been flown to be in this movie. And when I saw these children out in the back lot in between scenes, just playing in the dirt, you know, different games with rocks and everything, I felt so much compassion for them. And it made me realize how lucky I was to have such a wonderful family and to have love and to know what a real home is like. And I said, when I graduate from high school, this is what I want to do. I want to go to Korea and help take care of these orphans.
Well, there's one thing in saying it, another thing in doing it. I think it's wonderful that you did. Good to see you again, Don.
Don, it's a pleasure to be back in this show, the greatest of its kind, the one's ever able to been ever booing. No one's been ever able to duplicate it.
Sounded like Hazel there.
Yeah. I looked over my shoulder. I thought she was around somewhere.
Getting back to you a second, Penny, do you remember your first night in Korea? I mean, didn't you ever feel that this whole thing might have been a dreadful mistake?
Well, not only when I got there, but as soon as the plane took off from Los Angeles, I left in December of 60. And the whole time I kept saying, gee, you know, maybe I made a mistake, you know, but there was no turning around. I was up in the air on my way there. And I stopped over in Hawaii for a couple of days and in Japan also. And when I landed in Korea, I was afraid, you know, maybe no one would meet me. But there were the children with the big banner saying, welcome, Miss Penny DeFore. And actually, I was very surprised to see the orphanage so well off as it was. The buildings were beautiful brick. They had the girls' dormitory and the boys' dormitory. And I thought I'd be sleeping with the children on the floor, you know, in dirt. But they had set a room aside for me. They'd even had their carpenter of the orphanage build an American bed for me out of this wood. And it was very lonely the first night. Well, and actually, I guess for the first 2 weeks, it took a little adjusting, but I made it.
After she came back down, did you notice any change in Penny?
Well, it was a tremendous change, and we could get it in her letters, you know. Of course, we were getting the letters a little late, but we could see this teenage girl, metamorphosis of a teenage girl growing into a young lady through the struggle of the terrible cold. She had never seen snow falling from the sky except in Iowa, in my hometown, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, when she was a little girl. But struggling through the cold and the language barrier, we watched this little girl grow up. It was a terrible, terrible decision for us to let her go, I tell you that.
I'll bet you. Would you advise other parents to do that?
No, I certainly wouldn't. And may I say this, we have four other children. I have three other teenagers now, and if this mission had touched any one of the other children, I'm sure we would have struggled a lot harder to talk them out of going.
But, Penny, it sure didn't hurt your looks any. You look wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Well, actually, when I was in Korea, I worked in this orphanage for 2 months, and then I found I was more needed at this crippled children's clinic, and so I moved in with an American missionary family, and I had three hot meals a day there, and I gained 30 pounds.
No.
And all of these pictures were put in the book, and I said, the book will never sell if you put the pictures in. Oh.
You've lost a lot since then.
Yes, thank goodness.
Well, if I were Rock Hudson, I'd come to see you.
Oh, thanks.
Very pretty.
You've got to make a picture out of it, Don. I just came from Washington, and prior to that in Los Angeles, I met the president, Chung Hee Park, of Korea, and his wife, and our chief of protocol, Ambassador Lloyd Hand, and we're setting up to do the picture in Korea in the fall, and I just came from Washington and checked through the channels in the State Department, because we'll have to shoot up at Panmunjom, and we're going to make it in the fall.
Well, that's wonderful. We'll hear more about that in just a minute.
The Breakfast Club is coming to you from the Clouds Room atop the Hotel Allerton in Chicago. This is the ABC Radio Network. This is the ABC Radio Network. To march around the breakfast table, everyone. Get up, wake up with Don McNeil and have a lot of fun. Thank you.
Well, that was a terrific march we had this morning, and luckily, it's a peacetime march, because as any Bostonian will tell you, tomorrow is the 190th anniversary of an important historical event, the Battle of Bunker Hill. And nobody was marching like that today. But it was on that day, June 17, 1775, that the British general ordered the charge of that famous hill. I wonder if it went kind of like this. All right, men, forward, march! Halt! Brains, they haven't fired on us yet.
Are you sure, General? I think I feel holes in my head.
For you, that's normal, Peabody. Okay, men, once more, forward to march! Stop!
Heavens to Betsy, General. They still haven't fired at us.
I know their orders are not to fire till they see the whites of our eyes.
Oh, mercy me. I don't have any. Mine are bloodshot.
Perhaps I'd better call to them and see what they answer. And that's when the British general said those famous words.
Does your coffee break always seem to end too soon? Would you like to stretch that break? Well, here's a man who's found a way to do it.
Yep. I found a way to stretch my coffee break all right. And it really works. Here's what I do. When it's time to go back to work, I top off my break with a stick of juicy fruit gum. Of course, chewing a stick of juicy fruit doesn't really make the break last longer, but it sure seems longer.
That's right. When you top off your coffee break with a stick of juicy fruit gum, you take that good, relaxed coffee break feeling back to the job with you. You can go right on enjoying the good chewing while you're working. Helps keep you relaxed and at your best. Try it and see for yourself. Discover how chewing juicy fruit gum seems to stretch your coffee break.
We've got several questions some of the members of the studio audience want to ask Don DeFore. There's one I wanted to ask his daughter Penny before we get to that. I heard this story about her, and I suppose it isn't true. They say that you were over in Seoul, Korea, weren't you?
Yes.
You had a ponytail haircut, didn't you?
Yes, my hair was a little bit longer than it is now.
Well, is it true that an army corporal looked at your ponytail haircut because you were in Seoul, Korea, and named you Philly of Seoul?
Right.
Golly, that's right.
Sounds fishy.
Yeah. You are Carol Monaco? Okay, a cute little girl. Scott, what would you like to ask Mr. DeFore?
Who are you married to, a movie star or a plain girl?
A plain movie star. No, I married a Chicago girl. A girl who used to sing at the Bismarck Hotel. Marion Holmes.
Sure enough, for goodness sake.
And she's had many opportunities to be a movie star, but I think she has too much time to spend in the kitchen, and she now sings in the shower.
Okay, and Mary Jo, is it Sarnecki?
Yes.
What's your question?
Does Hazel really have a boyfriend?
Well, yes, she does. She spends, doesn't have too much time with the boyfriend. She spends too much time getting me into trouble.
All right. Anita Hardy of Batavia, Illinois. What's your question?
Does your real family really bug you about your diet like Hazel does?
They certainly do. You know, I accuse them of reading my mail. They really do. And I really have the problem.
Thank you.
You know, Don, I understand that you're leaving Hazel after this season. What are you going to do?
Well, I have some plans. The most important thing is that we are going to finalize this into a picture. And I have word that I have an opportunity to do one or two series of my own. But I don't want to go into a series right away because, you know, it's all time-consuming.
Yeah.
And I can't, it just precludes me from doing other things. And, you know, I've had four wonderful years with Hazel. It's great, and Shirley Booth and I are very good friends, but they decided to move to another network and change the format. And not too long ago, they contacted me, wanted to know if I would do some guest shows, and I think I will.
Good. Well, I think that's great, a little change for you after 4 years. You
know? Right,
yeah.
Right.
Of course, before that, you were with Ozzie and Harriet, what?
For almost 5 years.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. They're a couple of careers in themselves, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I know you'll make a fine movie out of this, With All My Love, by your daughter Penny, because I see it's got a foreword by Billy Graham,
and
a fine friend of ours.
General Guy Malloy, who was the commander of the U.N. forces in 8th Army, also writes part of the
forward, and they what they say about the this mission, which I refer to as a mission, is great. But did you know, Don, that 3 months ago, before the galas were out, you see, Prentice Hall is a publisher. Literary Guild picked it as its young adult selection for June.
Wonderful.
And it's being serialized as of now in the Los Angeles Times, and I understand it'll be a New York paper and also Washington, probably Chicago.
I'm delighted that you're here because somebody sent me a plot for a movie, Don, and since you're going to make one, I want to check this with you. I'm not sure that this will work. Would you mind listening?
No.
Here's what's supposed to happen. The hero gets shot, stabbed, and run over by a train before he has time to have his orange juice in the morning, and this takes place in the department store window on Michigan Avenue, right at the 5 o'clock rush on Friday night, 2 days before Christmas. There's an organized gang of thieves called Thunk, and they were able to smuggle the U.S. atomic submarine they stole into the department store window by inventing a special chemical, which they painted over the outside, and when the chemical dried, it made the sub shrink, and it ended up just 9 inches long. What they didn't know, though, was that the hero had hidden inside the submarine when he heard the crooks coming, and when they started painting on the chemical, he realized what was happening, grabbed some of it, painted over himself and his helper, who was a beautiful young girl he met when he jumped off a tall building in despair after her fiancé didn't show up at the altar for the wedding, who landed in the back seat of the hero's convertible just as he was driving by on the street. And, of course, they were trapped in this tiny submarine in the department store window. Things were looking kind of black. They wouldn't get out of it because of a sloppy window washer. The store was about to close, and this fella came into the display window to wash the glass, accidentally kicked over the bucket, the water spilled, and washed the chemical off the tiny submarine, and pow, right there in the window, it returned to its normal size, 196 feet long. And this was a mighty surprise window washer, and later he turned out to be the man who jilted the girl who jumped into the hero's car. But he really hadn't jilted her. He was really an undercover agent for an anti-crime association called the Society of the International Swindler Stoppers, Incorporated, known as Sissy. He was a Sissy agent. Then the book ends with the hero as he heads out for Russia with a bottle of the chemical in the suitcase. He plans to make himself tiny, sneak into the Kremlin, do a little spying. And the author was going to have the hero take a plane and spray all of Moscow with the chemical, but he realized that you couldn't shrink a whole big city like Moscow and make it believable like the rest of the story.
Don, there's only one problem. The plot's a little thin.
No action. No.
No action.
No action.
No conflict.
Well, many good wishes, Penny, on the success of the book and the movie, if it's made of the book. You're two fine people, and we were delighted to have Mr. Don DeFore and his cute daughter, Penny, here with us this morning.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Good
back to you.
Sometimes even tears.
But there always was someone you could count on through the years.
Be it far that I may travel or long I may roam, still that chapel in the valley.
Calling me home.
That's pretty. Well, that kind of inspires me to do a little travelogue time. Take one of our exciting little trips to a faraway place. Some faraway music, Mr. Ballantyne, please. Come with us, my friends, to the Jolly Jam and Jellyland, where we find all the natives busily putting up jams and jellies in the lovely new quilted crystal jelly glasses by Ball Brothers. You'll notice these people are individualists. Some are using Certo, others using Sure Gel. They make sure their jams and jellies gel just right and have that real homemade flavor. They're both by General Foods. Certo is liquid, Sure Gel is powdered. With those two fine products, those natives know their jams and jellies will be extra tasty. Good looking, too, in the new ball quilted crystal jelly glasses. These are so lovely, your jams and jellies can go right from the shelf to the table. They make swell gifts for bazaars, birthdays, thank yous. And so, as my tie sinks slowly in my vest, we say a fond farewell to Jolly Jam and Jellyland, knowing full well that you'll be stocking up on quilted crystal glasses and Certo or Sure Gel, so you too can jelly well get into jam the right way.
Beautiful.
Where is Anna Marie Peters, I think her name is? This young lady is an exchange student from the Netherlands who is with the group Pentwater, Michigan. Are you enjoying your stay there?
Very much. I like
good.
Very much.
Anna Marie, I can't help notice that you and everyone else I talked to from the Netherlands or most any place in Europe speak English so beautifully.
We learn it at school because it's one of the most important languages, but I picked most of it up while I was here.
You know all the slang words, do you know?
I do now.
Hot dog, you know what that means?
Sure, I had it on the first day when I was here.
Anna Marie, we get kind of tired of saying the Breakfast Club comes to you from the Clouds Room in English. I think it'd be cute to have it in Dutch this morning. So in Dutch, you say, the Breakfast Club is coming to you from the Clouds Room of the Allerton Hotel in Chicago.
The Ontbijt Club komt van de... What is it?
Clouds.
Komt van de wolken in the Allerton Hotel in Chicago.
Dankeschön.
You're welcome.
And this is the ABC Radio Network.
Some words that kind of get you word for the skin problem, you know, that causes those dry, scaly patches. I never know if it's eczema or eczema. How do you say it?
I say it this way.
Eczema?
I'm sorry.
What?
If you want to know the correct pronunciation, you know where to come, don't you?
What is it, Mr. Ballantyne?
I think you will find eczema is preferred by dermatologists, and it refers to an acute or chronic non-contagious inflammatory condition characterized by redness, itching, and dryness, and is often caused by exposure to chemicals or other irritants.
I didn't know Noah Webster was here, but as long as he is. Well, it ain't no fun, I'll tell you that, whatever you call it. Along with stuff like poison ivy, poison oak, other skin problems. You know what a lot of people have found helpful? Cuticura medicated ointment. It softens those dry, scaly patches and relieves the itching and often hastens recovery. The best thing to do is wash the skin thoroughly with Cuticura medicated soap. Just let that rich, thick, tiny bubble lather chase away the dirt and kill bacteria and protect your skin. Then smooth on that soothing, and believe me, it is soothing, Cuticura ointment. See how it helps bring relief. Those are two great products, Cuticura soap, Cuticura ointment. You try them, and I think you'll see why Cuticura has been the best-known name in medicated skin care for, golly, 86 years. Try it, won't you, dear heart?
Since you
single room, a table for one. It's a lonesome town, all right, but soon
Sam?
Huh? What do you want, Doc?
What do you got on your mind?
Oh, I was going to tell about the cannibal. You kind of caught me by surprise there.
You never guessed it. No.
Oh, you didn't hear about the cannibal?
No,
huh?
I didn't. I'm interested.
I'm anxious.
Well, he's walking along the trail, see, and he saw a big game hunter in a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
He said, "Ha ha, breakfast in bed."
Hey.
Aren't you glad you asked?
I don't know why I called out of him now.
Aren't you glad?
You know, things keep happening now. Some people fill out the same card, say the same thing every morning.
Really?
It's kind of annoying in a way.
You mean the same one as
yesterday? Yeah, the same question again on the card.
Oh.
How can Don McNeil be my age when I listened to him as a child?
Again?
They keep asking me that.
Yeah, you had that yesterday,
like
I remember.
Every day,
it's a special gift I have. I was given it years ago. Unlike the rest of you, I get younger all the time, and, of course, much better looking and sweeter all the time.
Yeah.
Just the other day, I lost my baby teeth, in fact.
Yeah.
I think they were my baby teeth. Well, I don't know.
I don't really.
And then another card saying,
"What?
I want to sit close to your piano player." Somebody's always writing
that again.
Well, I imagine a lot of people would. The finance company, the Internal Revenue Service, the Musicians Union, World War I Draft Board. You know, a lot of people like to sit next to you. Yeah. I noticed an old friend of ours back there, Mary Pete.
Yes.
I say old advisedly. She's a very lovely lady, and at one time or another has written many, many cute little essays and various things. Has her own program up there in Montreal, and written so many things.
Oh, nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Mary. I haven't heard from you lately.
Oh, I know. I've been terrible. I've been completely out of touch because I've been writing a book. And I admire that girl there. My goodness, she's a teenager, and she's accomplished what I'm trying to do.
What's your book about?
Well, it's about a little girl growing up in Montreal in the 1930s. I wonder who it could be about.
It's about little Mary Pete.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that great? Well, you have a family of your own.
Yes, two boys. One is in high school now, and the other is 12.
Do I understand that you are spending some time in Vermont now?
Yes, we have a house down there now, and we commute every weekend. We go down. We live right in the woods. And we have deer right across the street on our property, and it's gone back to nature.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And you still got your own program?
Oh, yes. Yes, it's on. It's been up to an hour now, and it used to be half an hour. And
congratulations.
So that's why I haven't been in touch with you for so long.
Well, you're a busy one.
Yes, I am.
Well, when you have time from your busy work, send us some stuff so I can share it with the Breakfast Clubbers again.
Certainly will. Yeah. I'd love to.
Thank you very much,
Mary.
Oh, she's a lovely gal. Very talented. I certainly want to congratulate, too, the gang from St. Louis, Mrs. Woodcock, and a whole bunch of these gals. Nice of you to come down here this morning, earn their own money to come here. Yeah. You didn't earn your own money for this trip, did you?
No.
You hit the old man over the head for it, huh? Anybody got any questions they'd like to ask while we have a moment here?
I think
here?
That poor man should be congratulated. I had to bring all those girls.
Yeah. This man? You were stuck with it? You got stuck with that?
Oh, they come as my guest.
I see. Fine. Good. Well, it's a fine group. Are you the principal, sir?
No, I'm just a teacher.
Oh. Don't get sore at me. I didn't demote you. Yeah. Well, by golly, you can't say just a teacher any more than you can say just a housewife, really, either. Because they're the salt of the earth, and without them, where would we be? Where are you today, Sam?
Well, I'll tell you what. I heard an awful story about Eddie.
McKee?
No, Eddie Valentine.
Valentine?
Yeah, Frau Frau took him to the doctor, and he was all bent over. You know, he couldn't stand up. And as he walked in the door, the nurse says, "Is that arthritis with complications?" And Frau Frau says, "No, it's do-it-yourself with concrete blocks."
That's already, isn't it? Yeah. Well, if you realize you're not as wise today as you thought you were yesterday, then you're wiser today. Now it's last call to breakfast.
So long, you breakfast lovers, this is our meeting. Once again tomorrow, you'll hear our greeting.
Hope you will, breakfast clubbers. Till then, Don McNeil, the gang, say so long and be good to your neighbor.
The Breakfast Club came to you from the Clouds Room atop the Hotel Allerton in Chicago. Breakfast Club is heard overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is the ABC Radio Network.